morning. Wow, that's nice and loud, isn't it? Go ahead. Will you stand, please? Shake hands with those around you. Welcome in the name of the Lord.
Sacrifice to conquer every sting of death. Sing, sing, hallelujah.
Joy awakes
the dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive, he stands their friend and king. Christ, Christ, he is risen.
He's risen, he's risen indeed.
Christ is risen, he's risen indeed.
Where doubt and darkness once had been, they saw him and their hearts believed.
But blessed are those who have not seen, yet sing hallelujah.
Once bound by fear, now bold in faith, they preach the truth and power in place. And pouring out their lives, they gain life, life everlasting.
Right, Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah.
Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed.
The power that raised him from the grave now works in us to his grace, go tell of his goodness.
Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah.
Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed.
Christ is risen, he's risen indeed.
Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah.
Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed.
He's alive,
he's alive, he's alive,
he's alive. Heaven's gates are open wide.
He's alive,
he's alive,
now in heaven glorified.
He's alive,
he's alive, heaven's gates are open wide.
He's alive,
he's alive,
now in heaven glorified. He's alive, will you say amen?
You can be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome. Today in the kingdom of God is a big, big deal. All across the world, millions of people are going to services celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are delighted that you've chosen to be with us today as we celebrate and as we remember why Jesus came. It's a little crowded in here. That's a good thing, amen? Yeah. So there's overflow. If you haven't heard, there's overflow in the cafe. If you got room, kind of push in a little bit. It's a chance to be family today. If it isn't your family, just kind of look over at somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here. Mind my elbow. But we're delighted you're here today. We have a wonderful program for you and just praying for you. And join with me as I pray as we invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister among us. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you not only that you rose, but that you're alive and that you're here, that you're walking among us, that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that we may know you, that we may receive forgiveness, that we may know the hope of heaven. Lord, I just pray for every single one of us here today, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts and minds. Give us the courage and the ability to love you, to worship you, to trust you. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be changed as we experience you. Come, Holy Spirit, minister us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand and sing with us, please?
In Christ the Lord, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. In all that cross,
sing it this morning. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy trust in Jesus' name.
shall come with trumpet sound.
Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. All this
pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here today, but we know that this is not just any day. This is Resurrection Sunday, Father, and we just thank you and praise you for that. We live our lives wanting to bring honor and glory to you, Father, and please allow us to do that today as we lift up our praise. And thank you for the ultimate gift that you've given us of your Son. And we can all know that Jesus is alive and well. As we turn our reflection, Father, to the offering, we ask that you would bless this gift and bless this giver, and that you would allow these things that we give, Father, to again bring praise to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame. Daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. ripped and torn in two, dead or raised to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Will you stand, please? Take your hymn if you wish. Turn to hymn number 192, The Old Rugged Cross. 192, please.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will claim by the world has the wondrous
they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can divine his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of truth theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring to wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king.
Tetelestai. It's the last words that John records in John 19. There's other words that Jesus spoke on the cross, but John, the beloved disciple, the only one that was there when Jesus was crucified, when he was recording this in his gospel, this is the word he wanted to leave us with. Tetelestai. It means it's finished. There's nothing else left to be done. You're probably sitting there right now asking yourself the question, what did I just see? Have you ever been in an accident? Or maybe you came upon an accident. It wasn't planned, but you were driving and you either witnessed it happen or you showed up and there's carnage everywhere. And there's trauma, and there's shock. And you're asking yourself the question, what did I just see? You see, when it's in person, even when it's dramatized, it's different than Hollywood. In Hollywood, we watch death. We are entertained by it. But when you see the actual event, when you're seeing violence take place, you're asking yourself, what did I just experience? You see, the cross is the moment, it is the event in history that every single person has to ask the question, what did I just see? What did I just experience? Today we celebrate the resurrection, but the cross doesn't make sense. I mean, the resurrection doesn't make sense apart from the cross. Because you have to ask the question, after you've asked the question, what did I just experience right now? The next question is, well, why did he die? You see, if Jesus was just a good man, if he was just a revolutionary, if he was just a good teacher, then the cross is obscene. Because for an innocent man to be put to death for being innocent is obscene. And you think about Pontius Pilate, you think about the Romans, you think about the Jews, and everybody has theories about why Jesus had to die and who crucified Jesus. But the answer is so astonishing this morning. And I want you to think about this. The answer is absolutely life-changing. Who crucified Jesus? God did. It was God that crucified, the Father who crucified his Son. Isaiah 53:10, it pleased God to crush him. It pleased God to bruise him, to beat him. Romans 8 says that God purposed in his heart to offer up his Son as a propitiation, as a payment for. You see, the cross is an answer to humanity that God created to know him, to love him, to walk with him, that has done anything but. You see, the greatest offense in life is not that we're not good. The greatest offense in life is that we were created for God and we don't follow him and we don't worship him. As a matter of fact, we worship everything else but him. It would be like somebody inviting you for Easter Sunday into your home this morning, right? Everybody's dressed up. Everybody's looking good, right? You can turn to the person next and say, you look good. Everybody's got their best on. They're home. They're having a meal. And you invite a guest, and that guest comes into your home, and they eat all the best stuff first and don't leave anything for you. They go into your bathroom and they make a mess. They decide without asking to go into your bedroom and take a nap. They're offensive to all your family. They start making demands. And if that happened today in your home, you would be a little upset. A lot upset. You see, God, who is God, says that we are created to love him, to follow him, to worship him, and to worship anything else besides God, to follow anyone else besides God is sin, and that it demands God's wrath. And that God is justified to punish us, to judge us for not loving him. But see, the cross doesn't make sense if it's just about wrath. If it's just about God being offended. Because God is love. He can't just leave it at judgment. He had to provide a way. We could not provide a way. He had to provide a way that justice could be fulfilled, that righteousness could be fulfilled. And yet it was still love. Jesus says, nobody takes my life. I give it willingly. We live in a society today that's sterilized with death. We don't experience death. Unless you're a hunter, you know, somebody kills your meat for you. Aren't you glad nobody this morning asked you to sacrifice a pig to bring it with you? You had a breakfast. We're not used to death. We don't experience it in our society. But in the first century, death was a regular part of life. They experienced it every day. They were used to seeing things die. And yet, when they saw Jesus die, it was a death like they'd never seen before. It was such an unusual death that those that witnessed it, those that saw it take place, even hardened Roman soldiers that were living in death daily, crucifixion was a daily routine for them, one of them stopped and said, "Surely, this really was the Son of God." So what made Jesus' death so unique? Why was it a death like none other? Because Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life, I lay it down." He went to the cross with a singular purpose of saving you and I. And on the cross, he stayed to that purpose. There's seven key words in John 19, 28 through 30 that I want to share with you this morning. Seven words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And the significance of them are, is that each word shows us Jesus' intentionality, that he was so focused when he was on that cross. He was focused on what he was trying to accomplish, which he was dying for you and for me. John records this in John 19, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing all things that had already been accomplished, fulfilled the scripture, said, "I'm thirsty." Then he goes on to say, "A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth." And then it goes on, "Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed and gave up his spirit." And that's where John stops. What's interesting about the Gospels is none of them actually describe the crucifixion. Instead, they focus on the event itself and what Jesus was doing and saying. There were seven things on the cross that he said. And I hope this morning it'll give you a new perspective this morning on Easter. Seven things. First thing that he said, as we gather today for the resurrection, the first thing he said, please, keep going. He gave us a word of forgiveness, Luke 23 through 24. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Have you ever been around an execution? Have you ever been around somebody dying? Especially if they're dying under duress, under pain. They don't think about others. They think about themselves. And here's Jesus looking at his tormentors, looking at those that were haranguing him and abusing him and saying they don't know what they do. God offering forgiveness, saying they don't know what they do. God understands. You know, people ask the question, "Well, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me." And the answer is, that's right, you didn't. But God knew that you needed him to. God is already wanting to forgive us before we're even thinking about him. That was Jesus' intent on the cross. The second thing he said was not only a word of forgiveness, but a word of salvation. He said this to the thief on the cross, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today. Jesus looked over at his tormentors, his fellow crucified victims, and one who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus gave him that hope. "Today you will be with me in paradise." God secured for all salvation. Third thing he said from the cross, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." As the firstborn, as a Jewish firstborn son, even on the cross, he was thinking about his mom and the fact that he was leaving her without any kind of provision. And he looks at John the apostle, who's the only one there of the 12. And he said, and in that moment, he's thinking about others. Fourth thing he said from the cross, Matthew 27, 46. my God, why have you forsaken me? Some say these are the most important words that Jesus said from the cross, because it brings to us a truth this morning, something you need to understand, that Jesus didn't just take the sins of the world upon himself. Jesus, in that moment, became sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin. He stood in the place of all sin, all of it, and paid for it. All sin. Past, present, and future. And in that moment, for the first time in the universe, the Son was separated from the Father. Do you understand the significance of this morning? When Jesus Christ said, Father, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, Jesus experienced hell for you. He experienced hell for you. For the first time in all the universe, the Father and the Son, for that moment, were separated from each other because God could not look upon the sin. My God, why have you forsaken me? And it says that Jesus rushed to that. He embraced it. He longed for that. He wanted to accomplish that for you and I. He also said from the cross, not only a word of dereliction, but he also gave a word of distress. I'm thirsty. John 19:28. Just previously, they offered him a sour wine that John's talking about, and that would have been a sour wine that had a drug in it, a painkiller in it. And Jesus refused the first offer of drink because he said in John 17 in the prayer that he would drink all of the cup. He would embrace all of it. And so he experienced all of sin, all of your sin, all of my sin. There was nothing keeping him from experiencing the full horror of it. And then finally at the end, to fulfill scripture, he finally took the sponge. Not only was a word of suffering, but it was also a word of reunion. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ endured the cross because he knew what was waiting on the other side. Philippians says the same thing, that he embraced the cross, despising its shame, because he knew the joy set before him, that he would be reunited with the Father, and that he would accomplish for us our salvation. And then last of all, you come to the words of triumph, the most important word, tetelestai. It is finished. What's finished? Everything. There is nothing left that needed to be done when Jesus died on the cross. It would be like somebody, let's say that you committed some horrific crime, and you stand before the judge, and they're going to arraign you. They're going to give you your sentence. And the judge looks at you and says, how do you plead? And you know you're guilty. The evidence is overwhelming. And before you can be given the sentence, the judge gets up. He walks from the bench. He walks around from the bench. He comes around, and he stands, and he addresses the bench. There's nobody there, but he's addressing the authority of the bench. And he says, Your Honor, this person is guilty. But I am willing to pay their penalty. I am willing to pay their price. Their life is forfeited. I'm willing to give my life for their life. And all I ask is they give their life to me. And then he looks at you. The judge says, okay, it's paid. It's done. Tetelestai. What will you do with that? You see, that's what the cross is, ladies and gentlemen. It's a declaration by the judge that all of it's been paid. All of it. And it's either accepting it or rejecting it. If you stood before a judge and you said, I'm sorry, I want to pay for this myself, then the judge will look at you and go, okay, then the sentence is going to be carried out. That's your choice. And the judge would go back, he'd step up on the bench, and he would smack the gavel, and they would have them take you away. In eternity, it's the same thing. That's the purpose of the cross. Everyone looks at it and says, what have I just experienced? What do I do with that? Everybody, when they stand before God, are going to have to ask the question, what was this? And what did I do with that information? See, there's three things about tetelestai that's important this morning. First of all, it's a declaration that our sins have already been forgiven, all of them. Jesus paid for every person's sin that is sitting here today. Every single one. Not only the sins you've committed, but the sins you will commit. The second thing that tetelestai means this morning is not only have your sins have already been forgiven, but they've already been forgotten. Oh, that's such good news this morning. See, we can't forget. We don't have that ability. But God does. I can't even forget the unkind things that I said to my wife this week. I can't even forget the blunders that I've done. I can't even forget those that I've offended this week. But God says they've already been forgotten. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ's provision on the cross, he says he no longer sees them. The beauty of it is that once I have accepted God's wonderful gift, I hide behind the cross. And when God sees me, he sees this. No matter what I've done, God says, it's forgiven and it's forgotten. I choose to remember it no more. When I see you, because you've accepted what I've done, when I see you the same way I see Jesus. How's that for a woohoo this morning? Amen. It also means that my sins should now be forsaken. You see, when I survey the wondrous cross, when I understand what took place here, it calls for a decision, one way or the other. And listen to me, to not make a decision is to make a decision. To not make a decision is to reject this. So what do you do with the cross? First of all, you have to believe. Thief on the cross, just believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is your Savior. You have to believe that you need to be saved. That you cannot save yourself. Second thing you have to believe is that Jesus, because of what he accomplished here, has the ability to forgive you. You have to understand that you need to be forgiven. That justice has to be served for the things I've done. We teach our kids here in children's church and in Sunday school, we teach them that sin is anything that I think, say, or do that is displeasing to God or others. And those have to be paid for. I need to be forgiven. I have to recognize in my life that I have caused a lot of hurt and a lot of suffering because of who I am, because I'm selfish, because I'm self-centered and self-righteous. And you have to believe that you need to be forgiven. And the last thing you have to believe is that Jesus has the ability to not only forgive you, but offer you eternal life. And to believe that means that you give yourself completely to it. Tetelestai. It's done. It's complete. There's nothing left to be done. But God, what about this? Tetelestai. God, what about this over here? God, I just can't forgive myself of that. Tetelestai. it's done. What if I, God, what if I'm not sure? What if I'm not sure I can still follow you? What if I'm not sure about the future? God says, tetelestai, it's already there. I'm already there. Just follow me. You know, it's interesting. Nails are an interesting thing. When I started out in life, I would handle these every day. I would play with them. I would work them in my hand. My job required that I was fast with these. I had to be able to pull them out and move quickly as I hammered these in. And I spent every day sometimes swinging a hammer 10,000 times. And I remember taking this and imagining, Lord, why? Why nails? Why the cross? And here's what I come to the conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. There's a finality to nails. We use nails because we want to have them permanence. We want them to, whatever we drive them into, that they're going to stay. So I ask you this morning, what will you do with the cross? What have you done with the cross? Do you believe you need a Savior? Tetelestai. Do you need to believe you need to be forgiven? Tetelestai. Do you want with all your heart to live forever? Tetelestai. It's done. What about all the stuff? Forgiven. Back in the back of the sanctuary, we have a cross for you this morning. If you've never made that decision to accept the free gift, the Bible says, for by grace you've been saved by faith, not of works. It's a gift of God to those who receive it. You have to receive it. If you've never done that, you can do that today. And if you do that, you can take that and you can take this nail and you can drive it in that cross back there and it's done forever. If you this morning been carrying something that you just can't forgive yourself for, Easter is about forgiveness. It's already under the blood. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's under the blood. It's forgiven. Take you a nail, drive it in the cross, leave it there. That's what nails are for. If you're rejoicing in Jesus as your Savior this morning, you understand the beauty of the resurrection. And maybe you've understood it for the first time this morning. Take a nail. Drive it in. As a reminder again, the permanence of what Jesus did for us. Amen? Tetelestai.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great, and he's greatly to be praised. This is our worship song, and it says this: My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Give strength when I've been weakened.
Strength when I've been weakened.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever he will reign.
Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. And say it.
Awesome.
Come on, lift your voice and say it.
Awesome.
If you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, testify, say awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, lift your voice. And say awesome.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world.
Savior of the world.
Giver of salvation.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on and say,
awesome.
Stand up and sing.
Awesome.
My God. Lift your voice if you believe it. Somebody testify.
Praise
his holy name.
Our
God is awesome.
we go. We're going to sing the victor's crown. Our God is not only awesome, he is the victor. He has won over death this morning. He conquered sin. He conquered death for each one of us. Let's sing it, the victor's crown, please.
You were always fighting for us. Heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, you have overcome the world.
Ladies, please.
You are ever interceding as the lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship.
Everyone, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
victor's crown. He has risen. He has risen today. He is our chief cornerstone, Father. I pray that as we go out today, I pray that we can remember our Savior. I pray that we could remember what he did for each one of us. Father, we thank you for your Son. Father, we thank you that he died. Jesus, we thank you for taking that rap for us, for dying for us, dying that brutal death for each one of us. Again, I pray as we go this afternoon about our Easter activities, we could reflect on what is real, what Jesus has done for us, and live our lives for him. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.